Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
Gavin Moorehead, Noah, anyway, it's not bad for the show. He is no longer co-hosting. Anyway. Because I don't ban anybody from my show, so I wouldn't ban Leroy. Pat wanted to join us. I'm going to play some great gospel music here before we get started. Let's play a song here by Gene Moore called Recover.
I may have fallen, but I'm not a failure. I made bad choices, but he's been broken, deserved.
Thank you.
hope you enjoyed the music. All right. Let's bring on Pastor Wanda. Yes. Let's see what kind of message she's going to bring for us tonight. All right.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for being ahead of my life and welcome women of God, daughters of a king. Tonight's word, and Pastor, welcome. How to use God's word to fight your battles. That is the word today. We're still on spiritual warfare, and the Lord, is what he has given us everything to be prepared for. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, have you prayed it? You didn't pray it in?
Yes, I prayed this in already. Yes, I have.
All right, so how's your day?
Great. How was
yours? He's blessed and highly favored. I was tired, but oh God, he got glory today. I rested and went out for a minute, came back and seemed still, but had to pray for others. So I'm going to hospital. A little bit of everything. So I'm released out of jail. Neighbors are doing well. There's a whole bunch of things God is doing, a mighty move. And we just got to start looking at what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get into the word of God. I hope all y'all had a blessed Friday, and it's an awesome, fabulous Friday that God has given us. And we're going to be in how to use God's word to fight your battles. Amen? There are many armor of God Bible verse that we can use to pray when we need to stand on God's promises. You can check out our post. It has 40 different armor Bible verses that we can pray. My absolute favorite piece of armor is not the one of the defensive piece that we wear to protect ourselves from the enemy. It is the piece of armor that we put on for protection. It is the offensive weapon. We need to slay the lies of the enemy. Let us say that we are all geared up for war. We have to put on the belt of truth and fasten our breastplate of righteousness in place. Our combat boot of peace are laced up. Our shield of faith is ready, for our helmet of salvation is secure. We are pumping up and filled with the surge of the energy as we head down to the battlefield. We feel a little bit like Rocky, but our big fight in the ring, we are ready to go. Now, how can we fight this battle without an actual weapon? The spiritual garment of war we put on are enough to defend ourselves against the enemy. We need a strong weapon to fight the offensive. We need the sword of the Spirit, the living breath of the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and the spirit, the joint, the marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. That's our first scripture. Okay? What is the spirit? We're going to go through what each part of the armor is. Amen?
Amen.
What is the sword of the spirit? What exactly the sword of the spirit is? It's the very voice of the word of God. There are two particular words in the Greek that are both defined as the living voice, spoken word, or message from God. But these are not mere words jumbling together with no meaning or significance. The word of God is divining this core holy utterance.
Yeah.
Sacrifice speech penetrate our soul and illuminate our hearts and minds of his truth. Amen. His word has the power to command mountains and the sea to exist. Stars and the galaxies are born through his breath. Storms are called at the sound of his whisper. His words have the power to break strongholds, release prisoners from the spiritual captivity. But not only does God speak in his word, but he is the word. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's John 1:1. The word of God is Jesus. He is with God. He is God, and he is with us. Amen? Let's look at John 1:14. Well, look at how the word become flesh. Amen. So if you didn't know this, you have all the tools we need. We have everything we need to be equipped and knowing who is speaking. We got to understand who's speaking. God is the word. The word was God. All the time, everything is all about God. God spoke everything to existence. Amen. Now,
amen.
John 1:14, the word became flesh and made us dwell among us. Amen. Can you imagine the greater weapon than Jesus himself? He is the word, okay? He is the word, is a powerful sword, and withhold the power of his word in our hand. What we have, we don't have nothing to fear. If God is for us, who can be against us? But many of us forget the power of the weapon we have in him. In fact, we often operate like the Israelites did when they went into battle with no weapon at all. Let's see how to use this sword, okay? Fighting a war without a weapon. Let's look in the word of God. In 1 Samuel 13:16-22, reveal a precautious situation of Israel found themselves in. They were literally stuck between a rock and a hard place. In this chapter, the Philistines gathered together to attack the Israelites. God's people quickly realized that they had a serious outnumber by their enemies. The Philistine army consists of soldiers and chariots that was numbered as the sand of the seashore. And that's 1 Samuel 13:5. Much more than 3,000 represented by Israel in 1 Samuel 13:2. When the Israel realized the odds was stacked up against them, many of the troops fled in fear. They hid in caves, the thick, between the rocks, pits, and dry wells. After they army scattered to the hillside. Only about 600 remained in Gideon with the king Saul. 600 out of 3,000 to make the matter even worse. We learned the Israel army was also weaponless. A weaponless army. Listen how God did this. Philistine had taken much out of control of that area, that not being a single blacksmith could be found in all Israel. That's 1 Samuel 13:19. Because of this, the Israelite were unable to make weapons for themselves. They actually had to go to the Philistines to have all their farm tools sharpened and were forced to pay high inflated prices for these services. Only King Saul, the ill-prepared, disobedient leader of a misfit troop, and his son Jonathan had the sword for a battle. No wonder so many of the Israel went to the hiding place. Sometimes our spiritual battle looks no different from the Israel weaponless army. We try to fight our battle against the enemy, but feel vastly outnumbered and outpowered. Everywhere we turn in our society, this world strings lies that we are direct contrast to the word of God. Satan seems to have full reign over this world. Finding people who have the truth is rare when we are in a bombard on a daily basis by message that says God doesn't exist. Now, I'm going to bring a word of God in now. You know, a lot of people say God doesn't exist, but I'm going to back it up. In Psalm 14:1, he said, a fool said in his heart, there's no God. Okay? So we can't listen to what other people say. They don't acknowledge a living God, and that's in Psalm 18:46. We have a God that no one can defeat. He's undefeated. Okay? So let's get back into the text. Do your own thing. This is what the world says. They try to say you God doesn't exist. Okay? Do your own thing. Be your own boss. Believe in what you want as long as it feels right to you. We attempt to use our weapon to fight the lies of Satan. But lack of solid foundation on God's truth, you can't win. But you must have the word of God. You must have a relationship with God. Amen? Let's see.
Amen.
How can we put... I'm not going too fast, I'm a pastor.
I'm just
flowing. All right. How can we pull out our sword and use it if we don't have enough knowledge of God's word? If you don't have enough... Listen to me. I had to tell a person, I have a sword and not a butter knife. Okay? So iron sharpens iron in the word of God. Just like we on the radio tonight, we're sharpening your weapon as well. through the word of God, talking about a spiritual battle and what we must do. For you to have the knowledge of God, you must read your word. You must study. You must listen to the Father of truth. You must listen to believers. I'm talking about the line upon line and precept upon precept, because you don't want to pick up anything that's a false doctrine. If you don't have your weapons for it, sharpened and ready for engaged, that don't mean you go buy a sword. Let me get this right now. Don't go out there and buy a sword. He's talking about a spiritual sword through you putting your armor. We put on the helmet of salvation. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the belt of truth. We take our sword, which is the word of God. That's your sword, the word of God. And you must keep sharpened each and every day. You're not to study. You must study. We have the shield of faith to quench every field of. You have to combat everything with your shield. That means I'm going to raise my shield. That's your sword, your shield. All that is working together. If you look at the Romans back in the day, they had to have armor. So now we have Jesus Christ. So what you're doing is putting on Jesus. So we put on the helmet of salvation. That is Jesus. Your salvation came through who? Only Jesus. Okay? Your breastplate of righteousness. Where your righteousness came from? Through Jesus Christ. All this is you putting Jesus on in a spiritual sense. Okay? The word of God. You got your sword, that is Jesus. You have your shield, which quenches every fierce dart. You putting on the belt of truth. Who you putting on? Jesus. Putting on your shield, that is Jesus. Okay? And we'll get in this in due time. We put on our shoes, which have the Holy Spirit. I mean, got the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who came is peace, Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, he's the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I got kind of stumbled out. Please forgive me. I know what God have given me. So let's. If you don't have enough knowledge. Now, if you look in the word of God in Hosea 4:6, he said, many of my people, he didn't say, you belong to yourself, your family, who you know, your pastor. Okay, let's get this straight. He said, many of my people are destroyed for one word, a lack. So if you're lacking something, okay, lack of what? Knowledge. So let me, I'm going to break it down plain and simple. If you don't have gas in your car, that car ain't going to go. Okay, and you know you have the knowledge of your car and what that thing said is half full or empty or fully full. Okay? Now, if it's cold outside, I'm going to put on some shorts. Now, it's 30 degrees. So if you don't have the knowledge to walk outside to see what the weather is, I'm not talking about look at the weatherman or sometimes. Sometimes it's going to stand outside. Thank you, Lord. And he'll let you know you need to have on warm clothes. So if you don't have the knowledge of that weather, you're going to go out there and you might freeze. Amen? So that's the same thing with the word of God. To get into the word of God, you must show thyself approved a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly divine the word of truth. So that's 2 Timothy 2:15. So you got to study. You got to seek. You got to meditate. Okay? Sometimes you're not going to be around people or the pastor or a sister or brother in Christ. So I'm just saying when this going on, somebody said, well, we don't believe this, but you have your word. You know what you're believing in. I stand on the word of God. So if I study, I need the wisdom and knowledge. If you don't understand, Father, I don't understand this, because sometimes you ain't going to be around people. I don't understand something. You can ask God, plain and simple. But you must seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything else be added. That's Matthew 6:33. There's no lack of want in your life. Until when you get in the word of God, you're going to understand God's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to heal me. He's going to deliver me. He's going to restore me. He's my wrestler. He's going to protect me. He's my God. Everything you need, it'll tell you everything. what you can and what you can't do, how you came into the body of Christ, how you can receive salvation, the blood. It's a whole bunch in the Word of God, a big old package. This big package, we have the covenant of God, the covenant of peace, the covenant of grace. All this is through what God has said we can have. We have the resurrection. Hallelujah. We know how to pray. It'll tell you how to worship. It'll tell you how to lift your hands. When you're going through anything, that's the best antidote. You have everything you need. That's the biggest antidote of everything you need to walk in with God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I hope I'm not going too fast. I hope I'm not going too fast for anybody.
you're going along just fine.
Okay. So when I didn't know things about God, I had to ask. I didn't just sit and let people speak. When you read your Bible or when you're in church or Bible study, make sure your Bible is open. I don't use the phone. I'm using the phone tonight because I have already found my study, okay? So when I sit and would listen to anybody, I didn't have people to add to God's word. I said then when I was in the ministry, they was adding to God's word. And I'm going to tell you, and I plead the blood of Jesus before I speak this. The person came up there, and I had to be, you got to be able to hear. The Holy Spirit will quicken you. When you're in that word of God, it will quicken you, okay? The person, somebody, Lord, can I speak on this? Let me ask. Okay, I'm going to change this because it's Friday night. All right, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, the person said it's all right to do certain things, and I don't want to speak this time of night because the Holy Spirit I can want to speak on it, but I can't. Well, the person tried to say something against God's word, okay? And God said, I'm going to say it like that. He said, thou shalt not kill. But the person came and said something different. And I said, no, that is not what God, and you can't make no excuses behind this. I'm not going to go and say what the person had done. But they said it was like it was all right. No, it's not. We are not the life giver. He's the life giver. That's the word of God. He spoke life, and he gave you life, okay? So the person tried to, and I had a lot of students in there. I had a lot of ladies that came, a lot of babes in there. And they was looking like dumbfounded. Well, I'm like, wait a minute. They ran down and got me. And I had to pull them aside. But they still was trying to say something. I said, that is not. I can show you in the word of God. See, that's what the Holy Spirit wants, because you want to have knowledge. You don't just want somebody to tell you, oh, it's green and it's black over here and it's yellow. You want to know what God said in the black and white pages. And when it's red, that is Jesus speaking. Okay, amen? You want to have the knowledge. I know what I know because I stand on the word of God. I read my word. I eat my word. I meditate on my word. You understand. So God will keep giving you what you need each and every day. You will get your growth, just like the seeds. Okay? Now, faith come by what? Not running from the word of God, telling somebody. Faith come by hearing the word of God. That's the breath of God you're reading. Amen? The mouth of God spoke all this. He inspired man to write it. Man didn't write it. Now, listen. We have a lot of controversy, a lot of people saying, oh, this ain't right. First of all, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Not one of these people sitting all together and said, we're going to sit here and write a Bible. We're going to write the bestseller. No, God already predestined, called each person to write each one of the books in the Word of God. Amen? So let's get back. All right, let me go. Thank you, Daddy. All right. Let me get back where I was. Sometimes our spiritual battle looks like no different from Israel, weaponless army. We try to fight our battles ourselves, okay, and fight against the enemy. But if you don't have enough word, the enemy will try to destroy you. But he helped him ask for permission. You know that? Did y'all know God is not going to let the enemy just come and do what he wants in your life? He helped to get permission. But that's going to be on the next service, so I can speak on that. That's about with Job. But tonight we're looking at Israel, God's chosen people. Amen? All right. Sometimes our spiritual battle looks like no different than the Israel, weaponless army. We try to fight our battles against the enemy, but fear vast. outnumbered, overpowered. Everywhere we turn in our society, the world screaming lies that they're direct contrast to the word of God. They're lies against us, okay? Satan seems to be have full reign over the world. Finding people who know the truth is rare when you are bombarded on a daily basis by the message that says God does not exist. That's where I left off. Do you do your own thing? Be your own boss. Self-made. Now, me and my daughter talked about that. A lot of people call them self-made. How are you self-made? You didn't create yourself. We didn't create nothing. God helped give you wisdom and knowledge and through the gifts and talents to start a business. But you, anybody, I hear a lot of people, I'm self-made. A lot of people go to different places saying, I'm self. If you self, that means you're self-centered, greed, pride, envy, strife. Everything works against God. God is a God, and he will not let anybody get glory but him. He is the creator. Okay? He's a jealous God. Okay? And when you don't acknowledge, see, we must acknowledge who God is through your battles, your spiritual battles, trials, tribulations. When you're going through something, I know God is going to bring me out. I know God did it before. He's going to do it again. But the world tells you something different. Oh, you ain't got, ain't no help. That's what it is. Help is on its way when you have God. Okay? We attempt to use our weapon to fight lies of Satan, but lack a solid foundation of the truth of God's word. Let's see. How can we pull out our sword if we don't have enough the word of God to fight? Let's look at this. So we retreat to a mountain, flee to the hillside, hide in the caves and cities. We live in fear of the enemy instead of using the victory of Jesus. He has already died and given us, but it doesn't have to be this way. Let's read chapter 14, 1 Samuel. And you will see that one man out of 600 used his sword and God's strength to defeat the enemy. And you can too. Okay? Ain't that something? Hallelujah. When you have God, God is what fights your battle. When you know God, when you acknowledge God, and you have to believe and trust in God, stand on his word. Okay, let's look at Jonathan's confidence. Jonathan must grow tired and waited for his father Saul to make a move against the enemy. Saul was kept out under a pomegranate tree with his 600 men doing well. Jonathan, on the other hand, was confident in his strength of the Lord and ready to fight. He had his faithful arm bearer secretly, went over to the enemy's side where a detachment of the Philistine was staying. But he didn't tell his father. That's 1 Samuel 14:1. Okay. Let's look at 1 Samuel 14:6. Come, let us go over to the outpost of this uncircumcised followers. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Jonathan had faith in that God would help them defeat the Philistines, whether they were a huge army or an army of two. So here's this what happened. Jonathan and his arm bearer climbed to the cliff to reach an outpost where the group of the Philistines were. Jonathan, a single man, a single sword, and his arm bearer, who did not even have a sword, killed around 20 Philistines from the detachment in the area of about a half an acre. That's 1 Samuel 14:14. But that's not all. Let's look at it. Let's keep on looking. This is getting good. Now this is getting good. Panic struck the entire Philistine army. God sent a massive earthquake. Now this is what God do. Okay? Because he went in the name of who? He didn't go in his name. He went in the name and his faith in God. Now, I'm going to go back. But that's not all. Panic struck the entire Philistine army. God sent a mass earthquake, sending that terrified army into complete chaos. When Saul looked out, men saw their army melting with fear. Saul sent for the priest and the ark in the covenant. While he was talking with the Philistine grew even panicker and turmoil. Saul and his men finally went into battle and found the Philistine in total confusion, fighting against each other with their own sword. This is how God do. And I'm going to go tell you something. you know, God can, what's going on right here, God put the enemy in confusion. And that's Deuteronomy 27. Put them in confusion. And you see, they're fighting against their own men. God's not the earthquake. And everybody got terrified. Do you see how many men? It was a mass of men. But then you seen Israel. So I got scared. When you have God, you don't have nothing to be scared of. Let's get back in here. When the word spread that the Philistine was killing themselves out, Israel, who went into hiding. Now, what God people got doing hiding? We don't have no business in hiding. Now, this is a prime example. A lot of people go in hiding. We don't have to hide. We have a mighty God to save. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go back up. When the word spread it, that the Philistine was killing themselves off, the Israel who went into the hiding came out of their rock, caves, the crevice, the joint, to join the battle, fully confident in the Lord and in the hot pursuit of their enemy. That's 1 Samuel 14:22. That day the Lord showed up in this mighty way. He brought the Israel into total victory through the confidence courage of one man, of one person, out of that whole army. One person with a single sword. If Joshua was confident that he was being victorious with God, help, how much more confident can we be when we are in a fight against the enemy with the sword of the Spirit? We have the sword of the Spirit. They had a natural sword, but we have a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But in order to fight with the word, we must know the word and use it in times when we are tempted. Filled with fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, shame, inadequate. Did you notice how Jonathan's confidence was contagious among the Israel army? His arm bearer stood beside him. Saul and his 600 men followed them into battle when they heard the enemy's confusion. Even the soldier who was hiding in the hillside came out and to fight, and this confidence when they realized that God was with them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we have some. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to look at three ways to use the sword of the Spirit in battle. Amen?
Amen.
What an awesome.
Let's play some great gospel music here. Okay, I'll play a song here called I Won't Be Defeated by Damian Little. Here we go.
Thank you.
Amen. I won't be defeated. Amen. All right, Pastor Wanda.
All right, let me get back where I was. You know, the Word of God is so awesome when you get the understanding. I'm going to talk till I can find where I just left off. When you don't know anything, sometimes you can get in that thing and say, Lord, show me and open your Bible. He'll give you what you need that day. Sometimes God used babes to even speak to you, because I know I've been in many battles. And God, he would send a child to me. So now I have to listen to the children. Sometimes just because you think we don't know everything. But God, he said, his ways are not our ways and his thought is not our thought, as the heaven is higher. So when you just got to be still. Be still and know that he's God. When he tells us to be still, that means you have to be still. Okay? We just got finished talking about fighting a war without a weapon. And we see the Israel, one man defeated in his faith. And they defeated the Philistine. When you have God on your side, nothing and no one can stop you. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Do you want to say anything, Pastor?
No. Go right ahead.
All right, hold on. So it was Jonathan. Then the enemy put himself in confusion. God wanted to show himself strong on the behalf. That's the same as he wants to do in our lives. Let's look at three ways to use the sword of the Spirit in a battle. That is our sword, the sword of the Spirit, which cuts to the soul, the marrow, and the bone. That is Jesus, okay? Sword sharpened. Iron sharpens iron. And that is another friend can sharpen you. Sometimes you could be going and through your lowest time, and God will send somebody to help and to encourage. That's keeping with the Word of God, praying for you, interceding, speaking to you, uplifting you, okay? That's iron sharpens iron. Because if you got a brother or sister in Christ, you know if they're going through something, you got to speak the word. Sometimes speak the word. Sometimes to give them confidence. Come on, you can make it. God is with you. When people lost loved ones, God always sends somebody. Or if you didn't lose something, your husband will walk out. It's many things God can send his people to sharpen your sword. Amen? So let's look at it. There are at least three ways we can use the sword of the Spirit to fight spiritual battle. We can use God's word through prayer, praise, and proclaim. Fight your battle with prayer. Okay, this is fighting your prayer, battle with prayer. We're going to be looking at Paul. Paul highlights all the pieces of the armor. His next exhortation is to pray. And we'll be in Ephesians 6:8. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. He didn't say something the same. Not because he didn't say show favoritism. He said all saints. Sometimes people have all with other people. Well, I'm not praying for sister so-and-so. That ain't what God said. Paul says it best. God told Paul, and he wrote it. Okay? He inspired him to write this for all saints. Amen?
Amen.
It is not a mention as a piece of the armor, but prayer is defined as a powerful spiritual weapon. Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit. These are not our own conjuring up prayer based on selfish hidden motives. The word Spirit in this passage is defined as the breath of God, a gentle movement of the air or a divine wind. These are divine inspiration prayer that breathes life into our very soul. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's see what it tells us. Pray continues without ceasing. There is definitely a time and a place for a specific strategy of prayer in our spiritual war. We have a war room. But prayer can also be as a fuel, as a gentle breeze, as steady as our very breath. We can pray in the bed. When we get up on our knees or at work or in the dentist's office, doctor, courtroom, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we can rest in constant state of continuous communion with him. Him is God. Another way of praying in the Spirit is to use the sword of the Spirit by praying the Word of God. Let us use our strength with, let us say we are not, I plead the blood of Jesus before I say this. Let's say we are struggling with fear. Now, I can go to Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? See, we're children of God, we should know, that's Psalm 27, 1. Okay? He wants to have faith. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? Lord, I thank you that you are my life and my salvation because of this. I have nothing, that you are my strength, my stronghold, you are my life. I do not have to be afraid of anyone, nothing, not even Satan, not even demons, because I have God, because you are my protection and shield. Hallelujah. When we talk the truth of God's word and pray it back to him, it is like a double-edged sword and striking the enemy in his gut. This is where we get the strategy and specific in our prayer. This is when we go to our prayer closet and fight on our knees. Now, in Isaiah 55:11, he said, my word will not return void because of what I send out to do. So when you send out the word, you send out the almighty, the breath of God, what you have read and spoke. His word is not going to come back void. Okay? That's the most powerful thing you can do is pray his word. Amen? Whenever you're struggling with, write it down. Find a scripture that relates to your issue and pray on those scriptures right back to the Lord. Not only will the word encourage you and feed our soul, you will be praying his will to be done in your life and as well for your children or your neighbor. Whoever you, his word ain't going to turn void. It's going to come to what he sent out. You're a child of God. He spoke it. You're going to speak the same thing he didn't gave you through the word of God, your Bible. Amen? The scriptures. Anytime we can pray to God's word, when we pray, God's will. All right, let's go to this one. His word is powerful. His word is eternal. And it is never returning void or empty. We just went through Isaiah 55:11, 10:11. You'll never get a return to the sender. You know, you can put your mail in or send a letter, and it says return to sender on it. But when you send God's word, we don't get a letter saying return to sender because God's word cannot, God cannot lie. That is not in his attribute or his character. Okay? We don't get a stamp letter. We got a stamp letter to God is done. Let's fight our battle with praise. Okay?
Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to sit back to God.
Did you know God used worship as also a weapon of warfare? Many Christians underestimate the power of praise. It is a highly effective weapon that lifted up the name of the Lord and honor him as a true victor and your savior. One of my favorite testimony stories is the man King Jehoshaphat found in 2 Chronicles 20. Amen? Let's look at him. The enemy of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came to pick a fight with the people of God. Big mistake. Immediately, Jehoshaphat and all Judah sought the Lord in prayer. They didn't run from because who's coming at them. They sought the Lord. That means they went to God. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. But our eyes is upon you. That's 2 Chronicles 20:12. This is a prime example. When you're going through something, we can go look at Jehoshaphat. Okay? We can look at in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles. Let's see how God does it. When you face or stare the adversary square in the face, our best strategy is to not look around. Look around us to see and seemingly enormous circumstance, but it's to look up. Psalm 121. Let's look at this. Same as David, they look to the hills where their help come from. Psalm 121. You can look to the hills. Don't matter how many coming against you, but when you have God, He told you where to look. He didn't say look at the people. Don't look at your circumstance. Don't look at anything but look. Look up where your help come from. God told Jehoshaphat through a prophet of Judah would be succeeding in this battle. He said, you'll be successful in this battle. All right. In verse 15, do not be afraid, discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, it's who? It's the Lord. Hallelujah. The battle we fight are not ours. They belong to the Lord. When the enemy picks a fight with you, He's really picking a fight with the Almighty God. Oh, you didn't hear that. They not picking no fight at you. They coming at God, in you. You're God's child. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I hope I'm not overwhelmed. There's a lot of meat tonight. We getting a lot of meat because we know who's fighting our battles. We know who's fighting our battles because we've been into some things going on in our life. But the Lord then gave me this tonight. Now, we got a 3 or 4 part to this. It don't stop just because we read this. It's more to God. I'm back of a lot of things, okay? Jehoshaphat responded to God's promise. God then promised him victory. That's the same thing in our life. God then promised us. And you look at 1 Corinthians 15, 56, and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord and Jesus Christ. It's already done. Same as this is in the old. We went to the new because of back what I'm saying. Okay. God, he promised us victory. Some people get in the pity party. We can't get no pity party. We're in the praise party. When you lift up praise, he and all his people, Judah, fell down to worship before the Lord in verse 18. The next morning, as they prepared to go down to the battlefield, you would have thought they were on their way to church. Why? Jehoshaphat summoned people ahead of the army to sing praises to God and worship him in the splendor of his holiness. Okay. Oh, hallelujah. Something going on here. In verse 21, give thanks to the Lord for his love endureth forever. What a using battle cry. According to the fascist, praise was the first weapon they used was against the enemy even before they set foot on the enemy's ground. Okay. As they began to sing praises to the Lord, sent an ambush, hallelujah, against the men of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir, where they invaded Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another in verse 22 and 23. Did y'all hear this? Hallelujah. When Jehoshaphat and his men arrived at the battlefield, all they saw was a sea of dead bodies. The war was already over and victory was already there. Are you struggling with doubt? Praise the Lord. Are you in a battle of chronic illness? Praise the Lord. Are you dealing with wayward church? Praise the Lord. Are you lonely, a single, or struggling with marriage? Praise the Lord. Whatever different circumstances you find yourself in right now, praise God. In the midst of it, even though the tears, praise remind us of how big our God is, that he is stronger than anything that life throws in our way. Praise puzzle us and annihilate the enemy. This doesn't mean the enemy. That doesn't mean that our circumstances always change automatically. But we are taking comfort in the truth that God is our shield, our sword, and our shield. When you start feeling discouraged or dismayed because of the vast army that seems to be close around you, turn up and put your praise music on. Lift up the name of our great God. Not only will the soul find peace and rest, but you will gain fresh perspective on your circumstance. Proclaim the truth in the word of God and the power of praise. In Psalm 34:1, I will exalt the Lord at all times. Praise will continue to be on my lips. Hallelujah. Oh, all right, Pastor, that's going to be the end of the segment, but we have more on this, fighting your battle through the power of proclaiming. Amen. Pastor, we got in the call, or do you want to call the altar call?
I'll do the altar call first, and then I'll take some callers, okay?
All right.
Hallelujah. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this simple little prayer after me. So here we go. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry like to welcome you into the family of God. We like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487, and then press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you can tell the Lord that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Amen. Well, let's take some callers. We've got three right here in a row, four in a row, 111. Let's see who we have. 111, you're on air.
Hey, what's up with you there, Pastor Ken? How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Yeah, it's Beatty, man.
Hey, Beatty, what's up?
All right. Hey, I was listening to the Pastor Ken show, man, and he accepts that he's no longer ordained. So he's going to try to find some other way to be ordained.
Well, I thought he was ordained by Universal Life Church, too.
Yeah, that whether you pay $20. Anybody can be ordained.
Oh,
I could even have my dog, put my dog's name on there, and he'll be ordained. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean nothing.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
You got any more callers, man? Bring them on.
Yeah, I do. I do have... Okay, 111, you're on the air.
First of all, let me just say that it's not $20. It's free to get a ordination from the Universal Life Church. If you want a printed certificate, it's $20. If you want to print it off the computer, it's free.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
Number two, Kenton's talking about raising money for himself by selling personal things of his. He even suggested getting underwear and signing them and selling them. Actually,
well,
diapers.
All right. Well, you know what? They ain't got to do that. They can pray and ask God. God said he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. So when you believe
when
and trust in God,
when God puts a child molester in diapers, he is not listening.
Okay.
God is not listening to him.
Okay, well, you know what? God, he sees and knows. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord is running to and fro. He hears and knows everything that's going on. Okay?
And
Psalm 139, he knows.
And
we're going to ask God to bless them and forgive them for what they or not they do. Okay, so I don't want to be on live there talking about, we just got finished talking about the battles, okay, spiritual battles.
Amen.
A lot of people have issues. A lot of people have issues now. This is the women's show, okay, Women of God, Daughters of King. And I can't be a partaker in that because I don't know what's going on. I pray for everybody because I had a lot of issues myself, but God, he is delivered. If he brought me out of darkness, glory, light, he can bring him out. And all of us, and many people will fall, but God said, if a man falls, how many times? 7. He didn't say stay down there. You get up. So you also pray for dead people,
ma'am?
No, I don't pray for dead. God said let the dead bury the dead. Okay? No, we ain't talking about that. See, I'm on when someone falls.
You ain't praying for their soul?
If I'm No, I still, if they dead, the soul, we can't pray for. That's that between them and God. That's when they would, when you are living among the land of the living and dead. See, we are a land of the living. When the dead is gone, they're gone. They had a chance. That's what free will, okay? But we pray for the ones when they fall. If you're strong enough in Christ and you know the word of God, we pray for those ones. I don't have time to talk about that person because it's 2 minutes old.
Well,
I really
well
don't.
I'll just say the churches believe you can baptize the dead. Maybe you don't, but
no,
other churches
no,
that, do.
That's not in the word. Listen, that's not in the word of God. That's a lie going against God's word, okay? When you're living, not dead, you don't go out and go to no more.
Man, that's your interpretation.
No, that ain't that's not in the word of God. No, I'm not going to even feed in that. That's not in the word.
Man,
that's
there
a lie.
Are so many different sects to Christianity. You can't say your sect is superior to all other ones.
I say, listen, I don't care what nobody else. I'm standing on what God said in the Bible. It's a lot of false doctrine. That's why God said,
study
thyself
so
and show thyself
a fool. You read Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek, correct?
Whatever God gave me, he gave it to me. But listen, sir. We got to take another call. You have a blessed night. We thank God for your call.
No, ma'am. Why don't you answer the question? You can't read those languages.
Yes,
you have no idea what it says. You're reading
someone's
translation.
Listen, young man, this is not your show. It's a women Bible study. Amen?
No.
God bless you.
And
God
you keep your word, ma'am, too. You promised to give your undies to people. You haven't.
Listen, I'm not fooling. You work for the Father of Lies. God bless you.
Okay,
all right, Pastor.
Hello, good evening. I have a story to share. Hi. My son was in a car accident. He's 16 years old and has only been driving a few months. And this week, him and another student were, I guess, racing after school, and my son took a corner too fast, and his car went through a fence and went down into a ditch. I'm getting choked up just talking about this. I haven't prayed this hard ever in my life. I got a phone call. Mm-hmm. I was at work, and he basically didn't roll the car, but the car landed on its side in a ditch. And before the paramedics and the fire department and the police could get there, the man that lived nearby, I guess he heard it and came out of his house, and he shot a rope down to him, but my son couldn't get out because his foot was stuck. And so another man came down, another neighbor came out, I guess he was a preacher. And he, then the fire department came, and the fire department was working to get him out, and they shot another rope down, it wouldn't come out. The preacher started praying. And guess
Hallelujah.
What? The next rope, the rope that they shot at him, he brought him out, and they got him to the hospital, and he was still unconscious, a couple cuts and bruises, but he's going to live, but he was unconscious. And the only thing that would wake him up is when they waved Wanda's panties under his nose, he woke up and said, man, I want to be fast.
Pastor, I'm not going to do no other calls right now. But see, I don't do ignorance and foolishness. And when this happened to them, what they speaking? See, God told me something today. I want you to hear this, Pastor. Tonight God gave me, are you going to be positive or shut your mouth? Now, that's what I was coming to speak on tonight. See, I'm going to ask God to forgive all these. I don't want to do no calls. I'm going to tell you what I feel. Don't do no calls because, see, every time you bring the word of God, the enemy's coming. I'm not scared of the enemy because, see, I did not already pray. But the foolish thing, I don't do foolish, okay? And that's trying to detour the ones that's hearing the word of God. They're saying, Jesus didn't even, he didn't have to say none of this. He didn't say it, but he didn't even have to speak with the man with all them legion at all. So it's a lot of foolish calling on this phone, okay? About panning this and that. And as of today, you can do the calls when I get off because, see, I'm not going to feed in that because that ain't God gave me too much of him to put up with that. I deal with too many different souls, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, whole bunch of stuff. It's just a whole bunch. But because I can't do nonsense. So I'm going to get off tonight, and if the Lord's will, we'll be back on tomorrow. Are we speaking tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll be speaking tomorrow. Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
All right. Rainbow
hey,
Ministry.
Hey, Walter.
Rainbow Ministry,
hey,
I thank you. I thank you for all
Pastor
callers.
Walter.
I thank you, women of God, daughters
Pastor
of a king,
Walter.
And everyone listening. I bind up the spirit of confusion right now, Father God,
yo,
over
Pastor
this
Walter,
ministry. And Father
debate.
God, you will fight this battle for us, and I thank you. The battle is not ours. It's yours, Lord. I cover Pastor Kim with the blood of the Lamb, the listeners. And, Father, you know what everyone needs, and I thank you. And we glorify and magnify because you are awesome and almighty God, and I love you. Thank God for Jesus in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Love you.
God bless you, Pastor Wanda.
He
all right.
Pastor Kidd. Pastor Kidd.
Yeah,
tell her something, but I don't agree with her where she says don't touch God's anointed, because that's not even talking about the preachers. That's talking about the kings of Israel. You know what I'm saying? And if that was true, how come the apostles died? How come they were killed? You know, don't touch God's anointed. How come, you know, how come they were killed? How come there's a lot of Christians in the other parts of the world being killed for the name of Christ? You know what I'm saying? Don't touch God's anointed. You know what I'm saying? That was talking about the kings of Israel, not about preachers or pastors or this and that. A lot of pastors use that to make people submit to them, and that's not right. That's like overlording, like on them. So that's my take on that.
Okay, all right. I see your point. I see your point. All righty. Well, DC2, you want to call in tonight? I'm sorry, I didn't know you were in the queue last night, and I hung up, I guess, before I noticed you were in the queue. Call in tonight and give us your take on things tonight, okay? I won't hang up on you. All righty. If you're out there, you... And you're listening and you want to come on the air, just press that one key and I'll bring you on. Amen? 111, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor. My name is Edgar, and I have a question for the Black Pastor.
Oh, she left. Edgar.
God damn it. My question was about first. Swords. She talked about swords a lot. What does she mean by swords?
She meant the sword, the Bible. Okay, she was talking about the Bible, the Word of Truth.
So the Bible is like a sword.
Yeah, you can use the Bible as a sword. Yes.
One time I heard another pastor, and he threatened to behead somebody with a sword.
Yeah,
oh,
I heard that too. I heard that too.
That was
Hopper. Yeah, that was good old Ken Hopper.
Can you pass the phone over to Pastor Shanty?
Shanty isn't here. That's on Ken Hopper's show. And I believe she stopped going on that show, too.
Could you hand the phone over to Pastor Kim? She's in Alaska.
Well, she's not on this program. Kim's not on this program.
Could you hand the phone over to Pastor Leroy in the Bronx?
He's not on the program either. Yeah, they're all on Dr. Kent's show.
Oh, I'm really striking out tonight. Possibly it's the dementia. Could you hand the microphone over to the African-American Pittsburgh rapper named Doctrine?
He's not on the show either.
Where did he go?
I don't know. He's in Pittsburgh.
Could you hand the phone over to Artie Assrammer?
Let me see.
No, he's not on the show either. God bless you, sir. All righty. 111, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Is that Edgar on the phone?
No, he's gone.
God damn it. He's not supposed to be calling in. We're down here at the Galveston old folks' home, and we're all listening to the show, and Edgar wandered off. God damn it. Where did he go?
I don't know.
Oh, where are my pants? Where did I put my pants? So, is this the infomercial show? Can I order some?
No, this is not the infomercial. This is God's Rainbow Ministries.
God's
Rainbow Ministries.
Temporary. Wait a minute. Is it a church show? I thought I was calling the. But I was calling the QVC. Fuck.
No, it's not QVC. It's a church show.
Where are my pants? I think I shit myself. Thanks. Hey, can you put Eugene on the phone? What was his name? Earl? Earl. Put Earl on the phone. I want to talk to Earl. He's supposed to be in here with us, and he's goddamn it, he wandered off. Oh, I have to take my fucking pill. Okay.
All right. Goodbye. Take another call here. 111. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Kent. This is Edgar.
Hey, Edgar, how you doing again?
I had to move my bowels, but I'm back now.
Okay. They say you wandered off from the old folks' home in Galveston. Where you at?
I remember Galveston. That was a fun song with Glenn Campbell. You remember Glenn Campbell?
Yeah, sure do.
You have that song because you play Glenn Campbell?
I don't happen to have that. No, I don't have that.
Why don't you have it?
I don't know.
Aren't you in Texas? Galveston's in Texas.
Yeah, I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
I haven't been to San Antonio since Santa Ana was there at the Alamo.
Oh. Well, let's take another call here. 111, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
Who's dancing tonight?
No one's dancing tonight.
Why not?
Guys, nobody's dancing tonight.
Is this the Denny's?
No, it's not the Denny's.
I've never been to a Denny's that had a strip club.
I was hoping I'd be some dancing tonight at the Denny's.
Nobody's dancing at the Denny's tonight.
You used to be able to go to Denny's and get egg over easy and toast for $1.35 or something.
Could you send Tony F over to the Denny's? The dance rush?
No.
Why not?
Because just don't.
I dropped my phone. Hello?
Is this the Applebee's?
No. No Applebee's. 111, you're on the air. Hello, 111.
I like Applebee's on a date night.
Hi, my name is Tony Gibson, and I want to know if Tony Farrar is listening right now.
No, he's not listening.
Okay, well, I have information about him, and that's the reason for my call. I was told specifically by Pastor Leroy a story of what's been happening, and I confirmed that with a Mr. Jamarcus from the Majestic Theater. Anyhow, apparently Mr. Farrar, the last couple of nights, has been dancing, prancing, and twerking and jerking on stage. He's had more makeup on than a suitcase full of Mary Kay products. Meanwhile, Ken is at home suffering with cancer and COPD and headache and back pain and diarrhea and dementia and allergies and everything else, and he's out prancing around. I was also told by Pastor Leroy that he had drunk sex with a man in a wheelchair and in front of someone's grandfather, and then he took ecstasy and went nude roller skating all night. In my opinion, this is abuse. These allegations must be sorted out. Tony Farrar is a scumbag, and I will yell at him. I am angry. He better treat Ken better than this from now on. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Well, I don't think any of that's true. But anyway, 111, you're on the air.
Kevin, have you talked to Edgar? I'm trying to find him, and I don't wear my pants. I can't find my pants. I can't find my pants.
Yeah, Edgar's on the line right now as we speak.
Edgar, where'd you go, man? I can't find you. I walked past the shitter, and I thought you were in there, but you're not. And now I can't find my goddamn pants. We're calling from the Galveston. All these old folks home here. I'm just trying to find out what you're selling on QVC tonight. Edgar, did you get the gold chain? You said you were going to get a gold chain. Did you get it yet? Why are you calling, Parker? I got the gold chain and the Diamondique pendant. I was going to give it to my wife, but I forgot she died in 1976. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my wife. I haven't seen her in years. I can't. Shit, I'm constipated. I need to drink some more fucking prune juice. Sometimes you know where my medication is. I can't find it. I can't.
Sometimes when I can't find things, I look behind the couch. Have you looked behind the couch?
Where's the couch? I can't even find my pants. How the fuck am I going to find the couch, man? You got to help me. It's kind of cold out here, man. I'm butt naked. Something bit me on my
ball. Do you remember Glenn Campbell, St. Galveston?
Yeah, the song. Yeah, they keep playing that when we play bingo.
My favorite part of bingo is when they say 069.
I was choked. Who is this Kevin guy that's got us on the line? Why is he doing this? Is this some kind of special hotline for old people?
I guess so. You guys happen to call into God's Rainbow Ministries, and I don't think you know who you're calling.
I'm just trying to find my buddy. I can't find him. This is a big-ass place. There's like 100 rooms in here. There's so many people. And we're all in the same room, Kevin, so I don't know where he went. Where are you, buddy? I can't find you. I'm outside. I'm by the oak tree. I'm taking a leak.
Okay.
I've got the catheter. I got got that kind of catheter that they, it's like a condom, they roll over your willy.
That's my favorite kind, man. It feels like a rubber. Makes me think of fucking.
That hurt.
I like anything that makes me think of fucking. I remember back when I used to fuck my wife multiple times a week. Those days are long gone now, though. Dick ain't been hard in 5 years. Cause I can't take them goddamn pills. My heart blow up.
Have you tried the blue pills?
Kevin, what are you selling on this show? Are you selling cutlery? I need to buy some cutlery because I work in the kitchen sometimes and chop shit up. With Edgar, we're the cooks, we're chefs. We're both 100 years old, and we're both chefs. And we haven't stabbed ourselves to death yet.
Do you remember when General Santa Ana was at the Alamo?
What'd you say, brother?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yep, okay. All right. All right. Let's take another call here. 111, you're on here.
Yeah, I'd like to make a bid.
Huh?
I'd like to make a bid on Kim's diaper. $12.
Okay, I tell Kent you want to bid $12 for his diapers. Okay. All right. 111, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
I was ready to place my order now. I want the buffalo chicken, and I want the medium Coke, and a side of hash browns. But go easy on the sauce with the buffalo chicken because last time it gave me the shits.
Oh, boy. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Mr. Charles Kurtz, and I live in the Galveston Old Folks Home, too, and I don't know where Edgar is, but I found his girlfriend's dentures. She left them in the cafeteria after she gave me a blowjob, and I'll walk around try to find Edgar, but you know, one of her boobs is so saggy, got caught in the wheel of her wheelchair, and she went down to the nurse. So maybe Edgar down at the nurse. I'll go check.
Okay. God bless. Okay. 111, you're on the air.
Hey, Kevin, why do you keep hanging up on me, man? I'm trying to find Edgar. This is Beauregard, but people call me Bo. And I want to know, Kevin, why you hung up on me. Do you have a problem with old folks?
No, I don't have a problem with old folks.
I just walked past my buddy Wally's room, and they're having a gangbang. All the women took their teeth out. It's really something funky.
Yeah.
You think I should get involved, sir? I don't have any rubbers, and my dick don't work too good. But, you know, I'm 100 years old, so, I mean, shit, I'm old as dirt.
Yeah, go ahead and jump in there. Yeah, go ahead.
I got to take about 17 of those fucking blue pills for that shit to get hard. Maybe get a crane out to work it up, you know what I mean?
There you go.
I'm still looking for Edgar. Is anybody, can I stay on the line? Everybody from the place, from Galveston, old folks home's calling in. It's like a party. I'm trying to find my friends. Can I?
Okay, well, you can stay on the line. 111, you're on the air.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
And 111, you're on the air. Hello? 1-1. Okay. Hello?
Did you just see a real bright light?
Kevin, you gotta tell me. Did you see the light? I saw a light.
I don't know.
Oh.
101, you're on the air now. Okay.
Do you remember when Johnny Carson was on TV? Hey,
yeah.
Edgar. Hey, where are you, man? I can't find you. Shit, I put a new diaper on. I shit in it already. Johnny Carson.
I'm going to take it off.
Edgar
on the line.
Yes, Edgar. Hey, this is Bo. This is Beauregard. I'm
Edgar,
Bo.
Edgar,
that's
when did you start working at the Denny's?
Oh, what? Denny? I don't know Denny. Who is Denny? Is he a resident? Prune juice every morning. I drink that shit 3 times a day. Works like a charm.
Okay.
Shit.
Okay. I'm going to say God bless you. Have a wonderful night.
My medication.
Kevin, I'd like to order a gold.